Again, we are back. This is episode 257 of the Q&A podcast. My name is Anthony. Sitting right across from me via Zoom, as always, my pal DeQuincy. Did y'all miss us?
Honestly, I am surprised I remember the passwords to any of these accounts. The Spotify podcast, Zoom, any of this stuff. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Our last episode was April 2nd. We sit here, it's now April 29th.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Things happened.
both
of us went on vacation, like one right after the other. I was going to like do a single podcast explaining what happened, but I just never got around to it. Every day I just kept pushing it back and pushing it back, and then it was like, oh, it's too long now. I might as well just wait for Anthony to come back.
And, you know, the ego in me is like, okay, I'm glad you didn't do that, because my luck, it would be, you know, the highest rated episodes of the run. It's like, what do we need this guy for anymore?
Yeah. I honestly would have came in and be like, I got some bad news. Q&A, only Q's here. Anthony's on the run. He's trying to find a country with no, what's that called? Where they can return you back to the States.
Extradition.
Yeah, extradition. I'm going to say exposition. That's why I asked you. Yeah, he's going away, trying to find wherever the hell Russell Simmons is and living there. He's on the lam for some crimes.
Right.
But nah, we, like I said, I took a vacation. Then when I came back, you were gone on vacation. Like, it was nothing planned. It just happened that way.
And honestly, I got back from my vacation last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I was trying to catch up on some stuff. And so I was like, well, maybe I could do it Friday or Saturday. And then Friday, man, like Friday afternoon, I just got hit. Just like, man, I guess everything just caught up to me. And I just felt awful.
Yeah. And tell the people why you felt awful. Where did you go on vacation, my friend?
Well, I don't want to blame it on the beautiful island nation of Jamaica, you know.
Yeah, I'm not saying you had flights, you had, you know, as you were inside a tin can for hours at a time, surrounded by other humans, the worst possible existence. So, you know, it's a bunch of things hitting that one. You get back home and you're like, yeah, I had a great vacation, and your body's like, oh, well, we just went through hell and you're about to feel it all right, right. Now.
Yeah. Lots of rum and cokes.
Mm-hmm.
All you can eat meals,
mm-hmm,
at a resort. Very few vegetables, for me at least.
Oh.
Yeah, just a lot of, you know, staying up late, waking up early, trying to make the most out of the entire time I'm there. And a little saltwater inhalation.
Oh, you said saltwater inhalation. I thought you were about to talk about some other kind of inhalation that Jamaica is famous for.
Oh. Well, you know, in case anybody from work or my source of employment is listening, I will not confirm or state whether or not I, you know, partook in anything like that.
Oh, okay. We're trying to use some plausible deniability over here.
Right, right. I brought back one cigar for myself.
Cigar. Wink, wink.
Cigars for some friends, and a couple of bottles of rum.
Yeah, I wish it was on YouTube so people could see how hard I'm winking right now. Yeah.
Right, right. It's air quote city over here, baby.
Yeah. why don't we talk about that? I found a site that like legally ships you weed, like off, like it's like THC, it's like weed adjacent stuff, where like
Gummies and things like that.
it's like it's legal to ship and everything, and you can ship it to Texas and you'll still pop for THC if you have a drug test, but it's not like it's like skirting the law basically, like
Right.
if they're if I order this stuff and you and it's good, I'm gonna reach out for some sponsorship, man.
Yeah, you can't name names until.
Yeah, until you try the product, baby.
All right. Y'all do randos at work?
I have had two drug tests at my job. I've been there 7 years, had two drug tests when I got hired and when I got promoted to my current position. That's it.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's
Yeah, the
good.
only other time they do it is like if you cause an accident and then they drug
I
test.
would imagine. Yeah,
Yeah, that's it.
that's a definitely necessary time.
Yeah. Otherwise, as long as you come in and do your job and you don't have any plans of going up the corporate ladder, you're fine. Do what you want.
All right.
You decide you want to go for that promotion. No, you might want to withdraw for a couple of weeks.
Sure. Abstain.
Yeah.
No, I mean it was an amazing time, an incredible place to visit. We went, my girl and I went, some friends of ours, guys that you know, we went for our friend Kamau's wedding with him and his wife. And man, it was something that I like regular me, like under normal circumstances or whatever, I don't know. I just a few years ago, I wouldn't have been so gung-ho about doing any of this and planning and just all of it. But the last year, timing was right for me to get there to make this trip happen, and I did, and I'm glad I did, and it was awesome. It was a great time. I got sick a few days after when I got back, but that's okay. It was worth the experience of being there and just
Escaping America, just the hell with
sure.
this country. It sucks dearly. It's nice to get out. I've never left America. It's I really feel like it's too big. When I'm talking about America, I'm like, you could go to like 20 different spots in America and they're all completely different.
Yeah. And I need to explore that, more. But taking this chance to get out and go to a completely different place, man. I mean, it's the resort was nice and it was on the beach, and that view is just spectacular and does not get old. From the moment you walk in and view the ocean and everything, till the second you leave, I mean, there's nothing that gets old about that view. And
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because now I can picture you going to Galveston and look at the beach and being like, Batuu, I hate this is the poor people's place. I've seen beauty.
man, I've never seen water that blue and that clear. It is, having gone to Galveston many, many times in my life, I've never seen water that pretty, and it was just incredible.
Or Galveston always catches strays because it looks the way it looks, and it naturally looks that way. Like it's not
Yeah.
chemically induced. That's just the way it always is going to be, even if humans weren't here.
I mean, that's just the Gulf for you,
Yeah.
man. That's what it is. It is what it is. And there's always a charm. I mean, there's without a doubt a charm to Galveston, to where you're from. I mean, I'll always appreciate where I'm from. But man, it was incredible. And again, just getting away from everything and kind of you're doing something different and adventurous. was cool. It was worth it. And it was worth the hassle of travel, which is never fun. And yeah, man, it was cool. We left the I left the resort once. The wedding group, it was a big wedding group, and there was a lot of the bride, it was a lot of her family and friends. And so they left the resort a few more times than I did, and I guess my friends as well as our little group did. But the couple of times that we left the resort, it was cool. It was like, checking out there was a beach restaurant that we went to, and it was great. It was delicious. And just you're inches away from the ocean there, and it's just an incredible view. Going into town, and the view there is definitely, it's eye-opening, because it's an impoverished nation. But from my understanding, or from what I saw, I mean, it doesn't, there's a lot going on that, we kind of take for granted, as you're driving through it and not stopping. But we did stop. But we went to this place called the Pudding Man, and they sell these like slices and whole pudding cakes. And the guy, the pudding, like the Pudding Man, there's a guy who calls himself the Pudding Man. He like cooks them outside on like these pits, because when you walk up to the door, there's like you see these empty pits, and there's like white ash from where everything was cooked. And he takes them inside, and they cut them up and slice them up. And it's, the staff is on an inside. They're in a like they're caged off, basically, with these windows and stuff. And you tell them what you want.
Locked up. We gotta make this pudding. We gotta make this pudding. We're locked up.
And yeah, they sell you these giant slices and whole cakes, which again, the bride, she bought a whole cake, I think, for her party or for the party. But we bought a few slices of our own, and it's just this fresh, delicious pudding cake that I don't typically eat. I typically don't eat pudding cake, but when in Rome, right? And you buy these giant slices, and they're delicious and filling, and it's just like, it's just a cool experience, man. Like, I don't, just checking out this like seemingly hidden type place was fun. And then the second time we left the resort was at night. We did this bioluminescence tour, where you go to what we go to a, went to a lagoon, and you get on a boat all the night. It was around 7 p.m. or as after sundown, and you get in the water, and you're supposed to see like the algae illuminate, especially like when you stir the water, when you're swimming and moving your arms and stuff like that. And the lagoon itself is only like 5 feet deep, but there's, I guess, all the algae and stuff is like at the bottom. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what it was at the very bottom, but like you can stand, but you can also, it's just kind of, it's a very weird feeling. Even when I was wearing like, water shoes, and you could still feel the, you could still feel, just the, how different it was than just being in like a regular pool or a lake, where that stuff isn't really building up. And after a while, you find the right spot, and yeah, you start swimming, and the water just kind of starts lighting up blue almost. From what I understand, it might have been a little too late in the evening, so it didn't light up as bright as you may have seen, like you might see in a, online or, pictures or whatever. But it was noticeable enough to be like, okay, I know what this is, and this is pretty cool. And that was like the last Sunday that we were there. The craziest thing is my girl was in the water with me, and she was a few feet away, and she got stung by something,
Oh no.
and it's pitch black, so you don't really know what it is. There's no sight of what it was. But she felt like this pinch, and she kept moving on, and then she got back on the boat, and I got on the boat, and she's like, my arm is kind of throbbing. And we got a light and we put it on her shoulder because she, identified exactly where. And she's got this ring around her shoulder. It encompassed her entire deltoid, front, middle, and rear. Just
Jesus.
this ring around her shoulder. And it looks like a animal bit her like on the shoulder. But we think it was a jellyfish, but we don't know exactly because again,
Yo.
it's pitch black. It was insane.
Is she okay?
Much
Like
better now.
no more pain?
As yeah, no more pain. It caused like an allergic reaction while she was there. But yeah, I mean, she was able to get through it and in time to leave and go home. No complications on the flight, thankfully.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's scary, but it's also fascinating at the same time. Like, what the hell was that? I just,
It could have been anything.
I mean, it could have been the creature from the Black Lagoon, as far as I know. I don't know. They're making jokes about, things that aren't in there, but then I realized we're in a goddamn lagoon. Like, there's a movie called The Creature from the Black Lagoon. I mean, my God, it could be there. Who knows? Who knows? But as far as I know, I didn't see him. So thankfully.
Yeah, as far as you know,
Right.
he's like the we talked about this off air, but the fan who got the Yankees manager ejected.
Yeah.
He just sitting away, just watching you like, I've done it again. A
Right.
Boone, yeah, the guy got Boone
Aaron.
ejected. Yeah,
Yeah.
Aaron Boone, the Black Lagoon creature, just like a mile away, like got another
Exactly.
tourist.
That was cool and it was fun. And doing that stuff with her and with my other friends. I mean, it was
What's up, John?
John Civi was there, our buddy Robert.
Shout out, John. Shout out, Robert. We know John listens, so hey, John.
Oh yeah. Our buddy Kyle, which you may have met once. Kyle number two. I mean,
Yeah.
it just, I don't know. I just can't get over the fact that I have multiple friends named John, multiple friends named Kyle, and I
Well.
have to like distinguish them when I'm talking about them.
Well, John is a very it's a biblical name, so it's a very common
Sure.
name. And Kyle, I feel it's just a very common name. It's really been common for decades. Even your name
Okay.
is common, Anthony. Good
Sure.
sir. Yes.
I mean, no, there's no denying that. But it would, I mean, I think it's hilarious that I have to make these distinctions sometimes, but
Yeah.
it's all good.
Anytime you meet a John, you're like, okay, so how am I gonna
Right.
separate you from the other thousands of Johns around? I know at least five Johns. Which one are you? Are you...
My other fr our other friend, because the Johns also know this John, like typically we call him by his last name, but also he spells his name JON, so that helps. That kind of helps, but
It doesn't help when you're saying it. It's just
right
John.
right
You
yeah
got to throw in John. Oh, you know, John. J-O-N, John.
right yeah
Old three-letter John.
right so being there with with my girl, with my friends, that was fun. That was incredible. That was, it was worth the experience. And then, of course, the wedding, being there for, our friends, was amazing too, because they recited their vows on the beach. in a gazebo, which was incredibly windy, but I mean, it was just a perfect day. I mean, there was no bad day in Jamaica while I was there. And yeah, it was just, the perfect time of day, the perfect weather conditions, yeah, were just immaculate. And then, obviously witnessing that the union of these two people. I mean, a friend of, our buddy Kamau that, I've gotten to know over the years, and his wife, Felicia, I basically met a few months ago. I met her for the first time and then got to know her more on the trip, when we were all hanging out, and she's a very lovely person, a very great person, inviting, and welcoming, just like the rest of her family and her friends. I mean, everybody was so cool, to everybody. And it was just, it's one of those things where it's like you meet all these people, and all of a sudden it's just you have more people that become present in your life, and you're grateful for that. It
Sir.
was another group of people that I'm grateful to have met and spent time with. And so yeah, I mean, it just encapsulated the entire trip. I mean, resort life, eating as much as you want and drinking as much as you want, and
Coming back 8 pounds heavier than when you left.
maybe I feel like I don't know, I have to weigh myself, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. But I did a lot of walking, so I feel like maybe I negated some of it. Yeah, man,
Yeah, sure you did, Puddin' Boy.
right. Yeah. It was yeah, it was an incredible time. And thankful for the experience and thankful to be back, of course.
Yes, I'm thankful you're back too. Hope that you continue to feel better. Your voice is a little groggy. It's a little shaky, but that's to be expected. You're still recovering from your illness. Yeah, sound like you had an excellent time. Something that everyone should try to, like, just visit another country, have fun if you can afford it. I know times are tough right now, but
And yeah, I mean, it's something that I probably wouldn't have been able to do a few years ago. And also, so the bride and groom, Kamau and Felicia, they had plans to do this years ago, actually. And they originally planned to have this destination wedding April 20th, 420. And they were able to have a 420 this year, which was cool. Just the symbolism. Again, work, just the symbolism. But
Symbols of weed, that sticky icky, that
right.
zaza.
I didn't see every, I wasn't present of while everybody was doing their thing. Who knows what anybody was doing? No, but the original plan was to do this 420 of 2020.
As soon as you said that it had been, like, put off for a couple of years, I was in my head, I was like, this was probably supposed to be done in 2020.
It was very much so
And COVID
supposed to be
just
done
wrecked everything.
completely. And they put it on hold, went about with their lives and their commitment to each other, and their, I believe they were married, stateside during that time. I don't know exactly when. No, but they maintained the desire to, see this through at some point. And the timing was just perfect for me, at least. And for them, obviously, because they were able to do it, and I feel like they had a great, amazing time. So it was, yeah, it was just the stars aligned for, I think, everybody involved, this 2024. So it was cool.
Yeah.
Amazing opportunity, for sure.
Well, that's great. Amazing. Hope many years of happiness to the newly married couple. That's great. They always have something to look back on.
Also, because you said our buddy John Civi is more than likely listening. I'd be
Right.
remiss to at least not bring it up. I'm not going to go in full detail. Anybody listening out there, you can email us. You can hit up DQ. DQ, you'll have to ask the man himself. You'll have to ask our other friend Robert about his experience in Jamaica.
Oh, but I cannot wait. I need everyone to talk.
It was probably my favorite part of the trip. I told my I told his story from my point of view while he was present. We all met up on Thursday night after we got back for John Civi's birthday, and we there were some friends that were unable to attend, and we were kind of recapping the week. And so I told Robert's story from my perspective, which I mean again is just incredible in my opinion, and just so ridiculous and funny. And you definitely have to ask him the details of what happened, of how he was treated in Jamaica. I guess that's the best way to put it.
All right, I'll have to get on that, man. So, like we said earlier, it's been a long while.
Yeah, a lot has happened.
Yeah, a lot has happened. We've been gone for what, 4 weeks almost. So let's talk about some of the things that we missed while we were gone. One of the biggest things that we talked about in our last podcast, WrestleMania 40.
You know, when
You
they
know, I just want to say this about WrestleMania before we really get into it. You text me after night one and you were like, oh no, I don't know how they're going to top that. It was The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. And what did I say back to you? I said, they're going to figure out a way or we're going to, no, I said, we're going to find out. Night two came and you never text me at all. So I figured you were just dumbfounded.
Well, I had to catch up on nights one and night or night one and night two. I had an obligation Saturday night that prevented me from watching it live, and so I had to catch up on it Sunday during the day, and then I wasn't able to watch it live for night two, but I was able to, I stayed up late enough to watch the instant replay and stayed up through the night to watch it. And thank you again for refraining from texting, because I caught you just in time on both nights say I'm not going to
Yeah,
be able to watch
cause you were sure about to get a. Did you see this shit?
it
Yeah, you saved
You know,
yourself.
it's like, when these big shows come around, and there's always these big statements like, this is the biggest moment in WrestleMania history, or this is the biggest show in the company's history, or the biggest this or biggest that. And sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes, I mean, the WrestleMania Dallas, I mean, the largest one of the largest crowd ever, Jerry World 2 nights in a row, and the excitement behind all that night, and last year's WrestleMania with Roman and Brock again, even though it's like Roman. Oh no, not Roman and Brock. Roman and Cody falling short. The build up was like, this is the biggest WrestleMania ever, and it's like, okay, it's Philly. It's not the newest stadium. It's not the newest facility. That the company is showing off or being showed off in. It's Philadelphia's football stadium. Philadelphia was an ECW town, basically. But it's still a wrestling town nonetheless. And how could anything be bigger than Hollywood, which was the year before? And that stage, I mean, that's the physical stage for last year was incredible. And yet somehow they managed to make WrestleMania 40 the biggest show in the history of the business. And it was both nights just encapsulated just the most incredible weekend in I it has to be in wrestling history. Just
Yeah, it
the
was.
and then that's just the two main events.
Yeah, I was about to ask you. So, what was your favorite match that was in the main events?
I would have to say for night one, it had to have been let me look at the lineups for both nights.
You need the Wikipedia article because I got it up. Let's
I
see.
just pulled it up.
All right.
Yeah, so let's see.
Right. Also, this is, I think this was the first two night WrestleMania where night two was better than night one.
Yes. That had not been the case in a long time, if ever. I mean, Rhea and Becky, for me, outside of the main event of the night, like that was just an incredible match. I mean, those two really put it all on the line. They went under 20 minutes, but it feels like every second of their match they made count, and there wasn't a wasted second in that match.
Oh, I gotta give you props. You called the A-Town Down Under winning the SmackDown Tag Team
Yeah.
Championship. So yeah, that was nice.
And did you call our Awesome Truth?
Yes, sir. I called the whole thing. I called them splitting the tag team championships.
That too. Yeah. I was like, okay, all right. Well, when that happened, when that for sure happened, I was like, okay, this is, I mean, it's the right call. It's the right move because, you can't have these guys bouncing back and forth.
And most importantly, you have more than enough tag teams to justify having two separate tag team belts.
Right.
Oh, speaking of which, tag team belts, what do you think about the new designs?
Love them.
Thank you. Me too. I gotta say,
They can
WWE.
finally say, fighting for tag team gold. It's been a long time since they could actually say tag team gold.
It's been ooh, decade.
About 10 years. Because it was first the bronze. After they got rid of the gold, they went to bronze or whatever.
Those ugly tag team titles. Then they were like, okay, let's make them silver. Like, no.
That's
Give us gold, baby.
not
Fight for the
gold.
gold. That's
Right.
most important. But yeah, as soon as I saw the match and I saw they had both titles up there but separate, I was like, oh, so they're going to separate the titles.
Yeah, no, excellent
It
call.
was like, yeah, oh, I know what I'm talking about for once.
Right.
It only happens so often, but sometimes I call these things. I gotta
Yeah.
say, my favorite match of night one, excluding the main event, Sami Zayn Gunther.
Fantastic match as well.
Yeah.
I mean, had everything you could want in a match. I mean, main event or not, like that could have main evented,
About any other pay-per-view.
Right, a non-Mania pay-per-view.
Yeah, that was great. The only match that didn't hit for me was Jimmy and Jay.
Man, that was that, not get, like I because I feel like that's the consensus across the board. And because of that, I don't like to pile on. But I'll say this, that was the most disappointing match of the entire weekend. Mean, because if anybody should have great chemistry in the ring, it should be two, twin brothers. You would think. I mean,
You would think so,
logic
but
might dictate.
someone pointed out their move sets are so similar. It's like the best kind of matches that we get is when it's two guys that have such variation, like it's a high flyer versus a brawler or something like that. When you have
Sure.
two guys that are basically a carbon copy of each other, it kind of limits what they can do unless they're going crazy. Like for me, I would like it if it was a short match, like 9 minutes, something where they're just doing spot after spot and it's just rapid fire. This match, it was like to slow it down. We're going to make it methodical and make you think. It's like, no, it's let's do super kick, super kick. Let's make this quick splash, kick out, another splash, kick out, reversal of, something where like it's a short match, but it's just continuous motion.
I get that. That makes sense too.
Because apparently their time got cut. It was supposed to be longer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I read in the dirt sheets. Their time got cut. Did you see the video of Jimmy? He's in the ring. And Jay was down on the ground on the mat, and Jimmy was in the ring. He's in the corner and he looks over and he starts yelling at his daughter. He's like, "Put down the damn phone, pay attention to your daddy, girl."
Oh God. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. I would be like, I'm sorry, Jimmy. She felt like the rest of us. We were ready for that match anyway. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's terrible to say.
No, I can't say I
How many
blame the kid.
brother versus brother matches have there been on WrestleMania? There's this one, Matt and Jeff and
Bret and Owen.
Bret and Owen. Is there a fourth one? There's Undertaker Kane, I'm sure, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, I mean, that's
That's fake
sibling
brother.
story by
Yeah.
story.
I think it's only those three. And we're one for three because only the Bret and Owen one was any good. I'll never understand why you have a match that's Matt versus Jeff and not make it hardcore or a ladder match. No, we're gonna make it a single 1-on-1 match. And same
Yeah.
thing with this. Like, you've been beefing with your brother's song. Like, there should have been some kind of stipulation. Make your falls count anywhere or table or something. Should have
Yeah,
had some
yeah.
real violence.
It was definitely a disappointing match. And honestly, I don't know if I mentioned it on the our preview, but internally at least, that was one I was looking forward to outside of the main event. That was one I was really looking forward to as well. I mean, it's such a great story, an addendum to the overall incredible storytelling that the Bloodline has been. And for that match to occur as it happened was just was a little deflating. But
Yeah.
not enough to lose me for the whole weekend by any means.
Oh no, because the match after that got me right back in it. It was the how you want to say the Beyonce ex women, Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair,
Yeah.
and Naomi against Damage Control. A lot of yip in that ring
Oh yeah.
on both sides. Woo.
Yep.
Beautiful, talented women. That got me back in. And like the match of that Sami Zayn versus Gunther. Like night one, solid. It was good. But night two started off with a bang and just
Yep.
kept on going. What was your favorite match on night two besides the main event?
It was probably the opener as well, Drew and Seth.
Yeah. That plus what happened afterwards.
Of course,
It was
that
crazy.
whole
Oh, go
excuse
ahead.
me, that whole sequence of events was just incredible.
And going into that match, what did Drew keep saying to Seth? He kept saying, "You're too distracted by the bloodline shit. You're gonna lose your title. Pay attention to me. You're too distracted." Blah blah blah. And what happens?
Got distracted.
McIntyre loses his title because he's too distracted by CM Punk.
I mean, it's storytelling 101. It's great
Yeah.
storytelling 101. It's irony, it's everything.
It just. Oh man, I say this every year when WrestleMania comes around. When wrestling's at its best, nothing is better than it's the greatest thing. Let's see what else. A fair match. LA Knight beating AJ Styles, and then AJ Styles getting his revenge, beating LA Knight, going on to face Cody Rhodes at Backlash. Oh,
I mean, I get
speaking
it.
of Backlash, have you seen that Backlash poster?
Which one?
The one with Cody Rhodes holding the title over his shoulder behind his back.
Yes.
Buddy, ooh, that's I saw it. I was like, ooh, that was hard,
Yes.
man. That ooh,
I'm
that.
looking at it right now.
I like, man, that could be your phone wallpaper right now. That's a beautiful picture. But
The
keeping on.
tagline is incredible. Yeah.
Logan Paul with I Show Speed defeating KO and Randy Orton.
I mean, good for them, because I have no idea who I Show Speed is, and this.
Look, when he got unmasked and what's his name? Michael Cole was like, damn it, it's him again, because he thought it was KSI. Like, no, that's
Yeah.
I Show Speed. I was like, I can't even say that's racist. You think all black people look alike? I can't even say, because I thought that was KSI. I didn't know who the hell that was.
Look, before they even took the mask off, you see this guy come out in the costume, and I mean, I mean, it was late at night. I was watching the replay, so I guess my cognitive thinking wasn't completely on. But normally you'd be like, oh, there's no way they're gonna do this again with KSI. But honestly, when I saw the bottle, I was like, a KSI again, and then to my surprise, it's somebody who I know even less about than KSI.
Buddy, I do not know these little streamers, man. No idea. But
Little
apparently,
Streamers is right, man. These guys are tiny.
tiny. Yeah. But he was just cursing his ass off, getting up on Randy, barking. And then when Randy got him on that table, barked in the face and hit him with the RKO, I was standing up. I was like, yes. Yeah. Like, send that little motherfucker right to the bowels of the hell. Fuck him. But yeah. Ended the way I thought. Logan Powell wins again. And he's had that
Yeah,
United
it's
States
a good
Championship for a
call.
while. Yeah.
I don't mind it. I mean, what's Randy and Kevin KO gonna do with that title? I mean, they've won that title so many times. It's like it's not even, it does nothing for them. And if you can find someone on the come up beat Logan Paul for the title, like that's a bigger moment, and that's that's wrestling 101. I think Randy and Kevin would tell you the same thing.
All right, we're going for superstars. I got Logan Paul, Bad Bunny, SummerSlam.
Ooh.
Oh, five-star classic.
Man. Dude, I mean, there's like that's a match that I mean, I can't even formulate a sentence properly thinking about that right now.
You know what's
Like, that's a
crazy?
huge match.
Yeah. Logan Paul is going to get another shot at either the WWE Championship or the World Heavyweight Championship, and we're not going to complain at all. We're like, good.
At this point, there's no reason to, because it's going to be a stellar to great match. And against the right babyface, it's there's no stopping the unlikability of Logan Paul. It's the perfect pairing. It'll be the perfect pairing.
Oh, you know what the perfect pairing is. Logan Paul, Jake Paul, tag team champions.
Oh boy.
If you hate A-Town Down Under, you're gonna want to call in a hitman when the Paul brothers win the tag team championship. But yeah,
Man.
right call having. Yeah, you're thinking about it, aren't you? You're like, after Jake
Yeah.
is done with whatever he's doing with Mike Tyson,
Whew, that's gonna be something. Did you
something
see
ain't.
they just announced the stipulations?
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, the fact that it's look, the fact that this goddamn fight got sanctioned, one, it got sanctioned in Texas.
Of course.
Not a big shocker. I've seen enough fights happen in Texas. Boxing and MMA. I mean, the judging for fights is so bad here in Texas that the judgment to rule that this fight can be that to allow this fight to take place in Texas is not surprising at all.
Yeah, it didn't take much here. It's a stupid place.
It is.
It's a stupid. The South is so stupid. I can say that. I've lived here all 38 years of my life. Where was that? Oh, Logan Paul, Jake Paul, Tag Team Champions, 20 sometime, let's say 2025, book it. And what else? Oh, Bailey versus Io Sky. Great match, right winner. Man, just I don't even know what to say about when these women get the opportunity to wrestle for a championship, they just go all out. Like, I know because storyline wise, they couldn't have the main event for night one of WrestleMania, but goddamn, they deserve night one or night one and night two of next year's WrestleMania. They put on such a show and such excellent wrestling every time out. You talked about Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch, and we prayers go out to Rhea Ripley with her injury. You know, hopefully she
Man,
recovers and come back soon.
that is rough.
Looks like I'm guessing Survivor Series is when she comes back. They had a banger on night one, and then this Bayley Io Sky match, a banger again.
Yeah.
So just great matches, but.
It's a testament to their dedication to this sport, you know, like it really solidifies how much women's wrestling has changed over the past, you know, decade. You know, 15 years even, that they put on main event worthy matches, and no, we're not surprised by it. We're not surprised by it. We're just still in awe that these matches take place.
Yeah, and the crazy part is they have so many more in NXT. Like NXT, and I'm sorry to let you know, I bought all the Tiffany Stratton stock. There's no more left on the market. I went straight to New York and purchased it all cash. She's gonna be a problem. Like,
I
and the best.
wholeheartedly agree. Yep.
She's got the look, she's got the moveset, she's got the promos, like she's gonna like I wouldn't be surprised if she's champ this year. Like she's coming for one of those titles.
Look, I mean,
Bailey, watch your back.
Bailey, watch your back, but also Becky, because there's a story there already. Because they fought in NXT for the NXT women's title in the past. And you just said Rhea's out till what, Survivor Series? That's a long time. They could easily find a way to get her to Raw. I don't know if she's already been drafted or not. I know the draft has been ongoing since last Friday, but that's a story right there. And that's a way to build a new star, to really build a new star. Because Becky's done it all. If there's any, you know, desire for her to help the next generation, this would be a phenomenal way to start. And I'm glad you brought up Tiffany Stratton, Tiffy Time. Do you know who accompanied her to the Hall of Fame?
It'd be her boyfriend, right?
Yes.
Ludwig.
Ludwig
Like,
Kaiser, my man. Like, they could also, she could, he could be her German, you know, financier, you know, that they could play that angle. I mean, good for that guy. I had no idea until, like, I saw some, you know, some mark post the video of the goddamn thing. It's like,
Yeah,
man, I mean,
it's probably me as I fell to my knees screaming, "It should have been
right,
me!
yeah.
It should have been me!"
All of a sudden, you start yelling it out in German.
I'm not gonna
Like,
try.
where did that come from?
Look, I fuck up the English language enough. I don't need to butcher.
The beautiful German language.
I was gonna say the poor Germans, but they've done enough
Right,
to not get that tag.
yeah.
But I thought we gotta talk about the main events. Night one main event, The Rock was acting a damn fool. I've always said Hollywood Rock was the best Rock, but no, Final Boss Rock is the best Rock.
Ah, damn it,
God,
man.
I love this man so much.
Like, part-timers and, guys that aren't going to stick around for a while or whatever. I get it. I see the good. I see the bad. Whatever. The Rock, I get his significance in just, the stratosphere, man, not just wrestling, but in pop culture and just everywhere. And, it's just when he's on, man, there is no one on this planet like Dwayne. And when he's got a good role, let's put it that way. Because I've seen some things that he's been in. Let me tell you something right here. When that man has a good script, by God, does he deliver?
This is Black Adam slander, and I will allow it.
I
Have you watched that movie?
haven't.
All right, I
I
saw
haven't.
it. My mom had it on a couple weeks ago at her house. I can say about that movie, Pierce Brosnan is wasted in that movie. He puts in a good performance. That's it.
That doesn't surprise me because Pierce Brosnan. When that guy has a good script or bad script, apparently, he knocks it out of the park.
Oh, we're
But
about to
when
go. Oh
Dwayne
no, we're about to go on a tangent. Who is your 007? Like, when you think of James Bond, who you think of?
ooh, man, that's a tough one. Because I liked the oh God, I'm already blanking on the nope.
Recent ones?
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, Daniel Craig, yes.
I mean, the Daniel Craig ones are in my, they're the ones I remember more clearly at this time. Because just seen them more recently, but oh man, it's got to be Sean Connery. But honestly, man, you know what? And this is one that I think what pisses off a lot of people. But I will give it up to Timothy Dalton because I think he was in one Bond movie. I know he no, he was definitely in at least one Bond movie. And I remember watching it, just I caught it one night and I liked it. I liked his James Bond.
You're about to have me Google. Yeah, we've gone off the reservation about the
He
let's
was
see,
in
Dalton
two.
and two, The Living Daylights and License to Kill.
License to Kill. That's a really good one. I don't remember. I remember watching The Living Daylights.
Was that? Hold on, I gotta see that Spy Man, because I don't remember this at all. Yeah, we've gone off the reservation, people, but you can join us. Please let us know what your favorite Bond is. I always like to know. I have to say, mine is Pierce Brosnan because GoldenEye 95, when that came out, first off, great movie. Secondly, even better video game. Buddy, that game was in my N64 for years. Yeah. Let's see,
No,
GoldenEye,
there
The
is
World Is
no
Not.
denying that GoldenEye is a fantastic video game.
Yeah. Oof. How many Bond movies are there? That's a lot. Buddy, I saw the thing. I'm not sure if you're gonna like it because it's gonna take a while because it's gonna take a lot of research. Tier list. Bond movies.
Oh, okay. You know what? But that kind of means we'd have to go back and watch a few more.
I'd have to go back and watch a bunch.
Oh, yeah. I can honestly say I haven't seen every single Bond movie.
Me neither.
But that would be a hell of a tier list.
I haven't even seen all the Daniel Craig ones.
I didn't see the last one.
No Time to Die.
No.
85. Yeah, Casino Royale was excellent. Quantum of Solace, not so much. I love Skyfall, and I haven't seen Spectre or No Time to Die. I've got to get on that.
Believe No Time to Die was the 25th
Yeah.
Bond movie. Yeah, 25th. I also liked George Lazenby and on Her Majesty's Secret Service. That was from 1969. That was he was in between two Sean Connery
Wait, was
Sean
Sean on
Connery
strike
Bonds.
or something? What happened? I guess. What happened to Mr. Sean Connery? Was he? Oh, he at in 1967, he resigned from the role of James Bond and was not on with speaking terms with Albert Broccoli during the filming of You Only Live Twice. Isn't that wasn't that the director? Was he not?
No, he was probably a producer. Yeah, he was a pro one of the producers.
Oh yeah, okay, I see. Robert R. Broccoli. So he was singing
Roald
time.
Dahl wrote the screenplay.
Okay, so why did he come back for the next one? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, people. We're on a tangent for sure, but this is fun. So why did Sean Connery come back for Diamonds Are Forever?
I have a feeling,
Money?
my guess, what's it about? It's all about what? The money. Always.
Let's see. Lazenby was offered a contract for seven more Bond films, but declined and left after just one. Here's all the actors that were considered. John Gavin. And here's where it gets great. Clint Eastwood, Adam
Ooh,
West, Burt
oh.
Reynolds, Robert Wagner. Let's see, Brett Housley, Malcolm Roberts, and who's this? Randolph, I don't know, is that name? Fiennes? Fiennes? It's French. I don't know. No, it's British. But anyway,
Randolph Fiennes.
yeah, Randolph Fiennes, sorry.
Okay, let me tell you
Sorry.
this. This is how unbiased I am to James Bond. I love Adam West, Burt Reynolds, Robert Wagner. Robert Wagner's a great actor. Or was. I don't know if he's still alive.
He's still with us.
Okay.
I'm on Wikipedia. It still says he is, so he's still with us.
Robert Wagner was one of the henchmen in the Austin Powers franchise.
Yeah. It's
And
only
he
Adam
seems
West
like
and
a
Burt Reynolds are the only ones that are no longer with us. They're
Yeah.
acting in the sky.
One, they're all American.
Yes.
Clint Eastwood, love Clint Eastwood. American, no, there's just no way I could have accepted any of those guys. And those guys are incredible actors. Are and were incredible actors. And I enjoy everything else I've seen them in. But there's no way I could picture any of those guys being James Bond.
Agreed. Let's see. Who is this?
We should have an episode where we talk about
Just movies?
movies, but casting considerations for different roles.
Oh,
There's
buddy.
so many out there that so many
Would
what ifs.
completely change a movie, man. Yes. Get back
Completely
to
change careers and lives and everything.
Let me get back to this. So, Connery was enticed back to a role and was told money was no object. When he was approached about resuming the role of Bond, he demanded a fee of $1.25 million. Also, the United Artists, I think that's a, I don't know what that is. I think it's a publishing, maybe. Offered two back-to-back films of his choice. After both sides agreed to the deal, Connery used the fee to establish the Scottish International Education Trust, where Scottish artists could apply for funding without having to leave their country to pursue their careers. Oh, damn. Sean Connery gave back to the hood. He said, I get to make any two movies I want, and I'm using this money to help my people get up. To pull them up by their bootstraps, man. You go, Sean. Sean out here doing it for the people. Oh, we gotta keep going because I'm about to look about who got casted. You know, who was runner up for both Daniel Craig and Pierce Brosnan. I'm gonna be on Wikipedia for the next 2 hours. Let's get back. WrestleMania, yes,
If
good.
you would have told me I was going to come back from vacation and talk about a bunch of British people with my best pal, the DQ, I had to said you were crazy
Bond
for
gets the
more than
pass.
10 minutes.
Look, Bond gets the pass, man.
Hey, I
Bond
hear
is
that,
iconic.
man.
All right, once they decide who they're gonna put in that suit for the next series of movies, I will be there no matter what.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Ooh.
That's what I heard.
They got so many talented actors. So many. WrestleMania Night One. Yes, back to that.
Yeah. When The Rock has a legit script, that man knocks it out of the park. He played the role of a lifetime as the final boss. And he played it to a T.
Yes, he was great. You know what else was great this WrestleMania that we got to give props to? Michael Cole.
Yeah.
When Roman got the pin on Cody, you hear Michael going one, two, three, and Cody screwed. Oh, like that's perfect.
Yep.
Oh man, I
His
think.
emotion was just perfect all weekend.
We say this all the time. The two things that completely turned around his career were one, getting Pat McAfee in the chair next to him, and two, getting Vince McMahon out of his ear.
Yeah. And also having Pat McAfee acknowledge the tribal commentator or whatever you want to call him. The Pat McAfee is what, the biggest Michael Cole fan?
Yes.
When you have Pat McAfee as your biggest fan, I mean that doesn't hurt. It's not a bad thing.
Agree, man. So night one, great. Night two, main event. It happened. New champion. First off, just a tip of the cap to Roman Reigns. To be a
Yeah.
champion as long as he was. Well, it was over 1,300 days.
1,316.
Just a crazy lunge. And to have the championship that long and have a story that was great. Like, sure, there are parts of it that slow down a little bit because that's all stories do that. You hit a lull, you know, writing book three in a seven book series. But overall, one of the greatest storylines that we've ever witnessed. And everyone in that family deserves it. Roman Reigns, the Usos, Solo Sikoa, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn,
Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman. Like, it's been, I can't even say it has been because the story's not over. Like, they're
Yeah.
remixing it now with Soa and who is it now?
Tamatanga.
Yes, who looks like he just took over Soa's role, Solo's role in the Bloodline. I'm just here to whoop people and chew bubble gum and I'm all out of bubble gum. So.
And you know, props to everybody involved for creating the storyline that the fans didn't turn on for the wrong reason, right? It never got stale. The people were sick of the fact that Roman was not an active champion per se, which I get, but they never turned on him for that. They booed him for all of the right reasons. And it made the outcome of night two that much more important, that much more worth celebrating. I mean, it was just a perfect ending to this chapter of that tale.
Yeah, that was an amazing match, an amazing moment. Cody Rhodes, the prodigal son, returns, gets the championship. Man.
Can I tell you, I mean, look, there's surprises galore. Everyone got involved. Can I tell you what my favorite part of that whole thing was? It was Samantha Irvin
Oh God, yes.
choking up and li physically unable to make the announcement. Like, with the full strength in her voice. To hear her choke up was just, I mean, it's like when you work for the actual company, you work for the company that is telling this story, whether or not you're privy to everything that's being laid out,
Oh,
you have a
Alex.
sense as to what is coming down the pike. And for it to still affect you in that manner is the art of storytelling at its finest.
Well, the thing about Samantha Irving is she has no idea.
Sure. And
She intentionally she said herself, like, she doesn't want to know who's gonna win, because she feel like it takes something away from her enthusiasm, calling the end of the match. So you saw when Damian Priest ran down and cast in on Drew McIntyre, like her voice like shook, and then her voice cracking when Cody Rhodes finally wins the WWE Universal Championship, like.
It was the, to me, it was outside of the pinfall. It was the most important part of that match because it really shows you how much this victory, this match meant to everybody.
Yeah, man. And then everyone coming out at the end and hoisting Cody up. I'm like, look at Randy Orton out there with friends. It's not gonna last long, but look at him out
Just
there,
one of the
friends.
boys hanging out.
Yeah. Until those voices started talking. Oh, also one thing we gotta mention about this WrestleMania, they made sure from beginning of night one until the end of night two that you understood that Vince McMahon is dead. Long live the new king.
Long live the King of Kings.
Yes, this is the Paul Levesque Triple H era. They wanted to make sure that you understood what the hell this was. Like, you ain't got to worry about he ain't coming back. Shares are apparently sold or about to be sold. He can go die in the ditch for all we care. WWE is just gonna keep going.
This was Stephanie and Paul saying, "You know what? We don't need your money. We're going to be billionaires ourselves pretty soon if business continues the way it's projecting."
And it feels like it's just going to keep going. So overall, what would you rate WrestleMania 40? Give me a letter grade.
An A overall. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, the two main events, basically all of the title matches that weekend, ensured that this was an A show.
Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. I give an A. Two great nights of wrestling. So much fun. The only bad part was having to go to work on Monday, tired as hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man. I'm glad we got to talk about it. It's been a We've been talking about wrestling in a while. Almost 4 weeks. Let's get over. We're done with that. Done wrestling. There'll be more storylines for us to talk about later on in the year, and we'll definitely get to it. Let's move on to some of these, I want to say, actual sports. Let's take a victory lap. You and me, stand up, run around the apartment. Well, you can. I'm not sure how good, well, you could breathe being sick, but take a little victory jog. We called the Rocket season before we said that they would be better than last year. Check. They would win more than 30 games. Check. They would miss the play-in tournament. Check, check, check.
Damn it, they were not going to disappoint our prediction. They weren't going to mess up our predictions by missing the playoffs, missing the play-in tournament.
Yeah, they got hot at the end and made a run, but it just wasn't to be. They finished year 41-41.
I mean, a
Overall,
huge improvement from last year.
yeah, it was a great season. Like, not every great season is going to end with a title. Like this season, if you had to grade the Rocket season, I give it an A plus because it was fun. They were entertaining. They seemed to get better as the year went on. Jalen Green has taken a step, maybe. Our friend Sengun definitely looks like he's taking a step towards baby Jokic.
Jabari Smith, huge step. That guy was had a very good year this year. And then the rookies that they drafted, I mean, Cam Whitmore, look, I'm not the first, I wasn't the only one, but I feel like a lot of people felt like that was gonna be the steal of the draft, and it looks like it's been like It looks like it. I've been kind of following the Lakers series, and they were saying, I mean, they passed up on Cam Whitmore in the draft.
Those fools, those foolish
And
people.
the way he played for the Rockets this year, I mean, you don't mean to tell me he could have had an impact on the Lakers with the Lakers this year, and possibly even in this series. I mean, this, he seems to be only getting better. I was really impressed with Amen Thompson, and how he made the most of all the playing time that he got this year. You bring in a coach like Ime Udoka, who has only up until this year it has only coached winning basketball teams and things like that, and not been so much a rebuilder for the
Hey,
most part.
as long as he's keeping away from the women in the front office, he's going.
But so for him to for him to give Thompson a chance, and for Thompson to make the most of those chances was huge. Huge for both of them, and more so Thompson.
Yeah, man. It was great. I'm excited to see what they do next season. Another year of growth, another year under MA system. I think play-in tournament is the worst they can do next year. Like, definitely, I feel like they should be eyeing that six seed, like play-ins, not playoffs, not play-in tournament. We'll see. Because I can see the Lakers taking a step back because No idea what's going to happen with LeBron. He has a player option for next year. He might opt out. The Warriors look old and busted.
Yep, the Suns were not good this postseason and could very well blow it up again.
Yeah. The
The
Suns,
Suns are the
man.
first ones to get bounced from the playoffs this year.
You've been watching a lot, or
Off and on, as much, when I can.
I can run through some of these series real quick. Talk about the
Sure.
Suns getting knocked out. Boy, that series was proved. Anthony Edwards, he's next up.
Yep, you are not kidding.
People keep making the comparisons to him and Jordan. He looks a little like Mike in the face. And there's a little time period where it lines up to where he was born and where Mike was during that time. But that boy is ball like he
Yep.
is. We've had a drought of American players winning the MVP. I think the last one was James Harden.
Really?
Yeah, because Embiid won last year.
Right.
Before that, it was Jokic with
Back to
two.
back, right? Yeah.
And then before that, it was Giannis with two.
Wow. Holy moly.
Make sure NBA MVP. Not for this year. I just want to see. And it's probably gonna be happen again because the nominees for the MVP this year are Luka Doncic, not American, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is from Canada, not American,
That's
and
right.
Jokic, who probably is gonna win it again. Let's
Wait,
see.
so Edwards isn't even a finalist?
No. Let's
Wow.
see. Let's see. Embiid last year. Go ahead.
I hate the finalists that they do it in baseball as well.
I hate it because they already know who won.
Yeah, that too.
They already know who won. They're just trying to drum up interest for whatever show they're plugging. Let's see. Yep, Embiid, Jokic, James Harden, last one in 2018. And it looks like that dude next year he's probably gonna take the leap. And I gotta be honest, I didn't think Minnesota was gonna be this good because I had no faith in Karl Anthony Towns and or Rudy Gobert. I don't.
Sure.
I have no faith in Rudy Gobert because apparently NBA players don't have any faith in him. Like I think the Athletic did like a poll. I think it was like 150 players or something, and he was voted like the most overrated player. So his own team, his own co-workers don't respect him. And then Karl
Yeah.
Anthony Towns, he is not big man. He is tall man. There's no reason you should be that tall and only get five rebounds. It's because you're not the big man. You want to be out there shooting threes.
You're not a point guard.
Yeah, good together.
Sorry.
Run through these other series real quick. Mavericks and Clippers tied at two. Only thing I say about the series is what the hell is going on with Kawhi? Is he playing? Is he not playing?
Oh man, that's just Kawhi. I mean, that's just
It's that knee, man. I think that knee is just it's bone on bone. I really think there's no cartilage left.
I mean, if that's the case, I mean, shouldn't he just take a year off to just,
The problem is it's not going to get any better. You're like there's no cartilage there. It's not like you can regrow it. So any
You're
you can
right.
take as much time off and it's going to heal, but simple things like walking, running, things like that are going to irritate them. So it honestly, if I'm the LA, I probably honestly I would do every other game with Kawhi and just tell Harden and Paul George to handle it. It's been entertaining series. That's a fun series. I've enjoyed that one a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Lakers, Nuggets up 3-1. Lakers able to stave off elimination for one night. We'll see if they can continue that tonight.
Yeah, I might put a couple of bucks on the Lakers just to keep it going. I don't know. We'll see if I can get to my guy in time after. No,
Oh, we gotta hurry up. You gotta put in some slips.
we don't have to hurry.
Okay. You better put in these slips while you can, boy. I got a hockey slip I'm looking at right now. I'm trying to see if this
You're doing
game.
hockey?
Yeah. I got a 6-player slip right in right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How you feeling?
I've hit 2 out of 6 so far. I might get 3, and the other game doesn't start until 8:40,
Okay.
so I'm okay with that. I got a crazy baseball one going on right now.
Oh, man.
We'll see. Yeah. Some of these 6 picks to win, I don't even want to say how much. I'm a degenerate. Where was I?
Nuggets and Lakers. I mean, it's like clockwork at this point for Denver. They didn't play great on Sunday. I watched most of that game. They just, I don't know, they just seem kind of out of it for this one night, but they still made it interesting towards the end. Joker, I mean, I never really, I've never watched, I haven't watched enough games of his or, many, many games, but I feel like every time I watch this guy, I mean, he's always on. And it's fascinating to see a guy who doesn't look very athletic, doesn't look very strong, but still one of the most, I mean, still is the most dominant person on the court. And that includes when LeBron James is on the court, too.
The Lakers and Nuggets series is like, and my brother will appreciate that. I know he's listening. It's like when you're taking on your older brother in a game of basketball, and he lets you get a couple of shots in, and then he's like, "Well, okay, now it's time to try." And your shots, you ain't making nothing. And he's making everything. That's
Yeah.
what this. That's what that game was. What was it? The was that game two? Yeah, game two. Where the Lakers were all big, and then the Nuggets were like, "All right, let's get this over with." And then they came back and chipped down like a 20-point lead. And then what was it? Jamal Murray made that shot over Anthony Davis to win the game.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we're gonna start trying now. You're not scoring. I'm gonna hit everything. You're not making anything, and you're gonna feel like shit because I tricked you into thinking you had a chance. Love you, Daniel. Yeah, I expect that series to be over tonight. I
Don't say
hope.
that. I want to put some money on.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm kidding.
for Anthony's
It's
wallet, I hope it goes.
seven games.
It going
No.
7 games, and then like the Nuggets winning by 40 in game 7 would be hilarious. I'm kind of rooting for that now. Give them hope,
Yeah.
then dash it away. The cruelest fate for them. The last series going on in the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder are up 3-0 in the Pelicans. No Zion, no wins for the Pelicans. That's
Nope.
it.
That's it.
And CJ McCollum, someone needs to step up, and it's not going to be him. I'm sorry. On a prize pick, they had a deal where they slashed down his like points, rebounds, and assists to like, if he gets over 18 and a half, you win. I'm like, don't trust that. Other side of the bracket, in the East, Cavaliers are tied with the Magic 2-2, and what I have dubbed the NBA TV series. I don't know what goes on in this game. There have been 3 games, no, all 4 games, the losing team couldn't make 90 points. I get this game, get this series out of my community.
Yeah.
Take this 1990s ass basketball away from me and my loved ones. I don't care. The only interesting thing is if the Cavaliers get beat, is it going to be open season for Donovan Mitchell?
I would think so. I don't think I don't think he wastes another second in Cleveland if they get bounced out.
You get a pretty penny for that boy. He's a very good player. Indiana Pacers lead the Milwaukee Bucks 3-1. This series, it's dead man walking. It was going to be a challenge for Milwaukee to win with Giannis out, and now Dame is out. What?
Yep. They're,
That's
I
it.
mean, they're, that's it. That's a wrap.
All right. 20 years from now, someone's gonna look at this and be like, "How did a three seed lose to a six seed?" And it's like the three seed lost their two best players and are being coached by Doc Rivers. What else can you say?
Arguably the best player in the world in his prime and is unavailable. You think this season goes the way it goes if they don't fire that coach after 10 games?
Oh, they fired him after he was like 30-9. No, he was something. He had a winning record,
He had a winning record.
and they fired him, and brought in like, okay, if you want to fire him, fine. I don't agree with it, but if the players don't like him, you want to fire him. This is a players' league. I understand. Fine, dog. Don't bring in Doc Rivers.
They fired him after 43 games.
Really?
Griffin was fired on January 23rd, 2024, despite his team being 30 and 13
And
and
13.
second in the Eastern Conference at the time. After Griffin was fired, the Bucks went 5-8 in their first, in their last 13 games before the All-Star game, before the All-Star break. Just unbelievable, man. This guy was doing it.
Well, if your players don't like you, it don't matter. They'll kick you to the side, and that's exactly what happened. And the Pacers are going to win the series, and I don't even know who they're playing the next in the second round, but it's going to run into a buzzsaw. Moving on.
Knicks.
Oh, the Knicks. Oh, the Knicks lead the Sixers 3-1. Oof. I feel bad for Joel Embiid because you have people talking shit about him this series because he's hurt, but it's like there's nothing he can do. Like the injury is basically it just how much pain can you take? And he's also dealing with about a Bell's palsy as well. So you
Is
got
he?
yeah. Woj tweeted that out like 2 nights ago. Talk about he's dealing
Jesus.
with a slight case of Bell's palsy, but he didn't want anyone to know about it. I'm like, oh well, thanks, Woj. Kind of ruined that.
Wow, that's crazy.
So he's out there, he's fighting Bell's palsy. He's fighting the perk 30 that's in his system to fight the pain. Like he's doing everything he can. He's going out here and he's putting up 30 and 12. And it doesn't matter because the Knicks look unstoppable.
Man, this is this is a Knicks. This is a side of the Knicks I haven't seen in
Thirty
decades. At this
years,
point,
30 years. Man, I wonder if Dallas is kicking themselves because Jalen Brunson, he was a Maverick, hit free agency. Went to New York and has found success ever since.
Maybe, but I mean they're still competing. And I
Yeah.
think if they get knocked out before the Knicks, then sure, that's a good way to look at it. It's a fair assessment.
I said Knicks are gonna be a problem. Sixers, I've already heard the maybe it's time to trade Joel Embiid. Rumors. We'll see where that goes in the off season. And then the last series in the East, the Boston Celtics, Miami Heat, currently playing right now. The Celtics are up 2-1. What's the score? They're about to, it looks like they're about to be 3-1. It's 84 to 60. It's 83 to 64 in the fourth. I gotta say, Heat culture, congratulations fighting this hard, getting this far, blah blah blah. So that's all I gotta say about that. The Celtics, they're in that, you guys gotta prove it to me. Y'all were the best team in the East. I think y'all had the best record in all of basketball. But I still feel like they're a team that can get punked.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I'll just say right now, man, they're running it back this year, this time in the first round, I believe. Yeah, this time in the first round, I put money on Miami last year to beat Boston in the series, and that kind of kickstarted my whole affinity for doing all this. It's because I won that bet. Like, I couldn't believe it. But
Starting this addiction.
I watched Miami play those first two games. I was able to get in on the bet and by the third game. I watched those first two games and I was like, this team can beat Boston. Boston is beatable. This year, not so much of it. It's a different story this year, and that's basketball, sports. But you're absolutely, just because Boston is going to win this series does not necessarily mean they're a lock for the next series. And they would be lined up to face the winner of the Magic and Celtics or Magic and Cavaliers series. Well, so maybe it might be, another good round for them anyways. But I'd say this, I guess the best way to put it, it's not a lock for them to go to the finals.
Yeah, I think that they're going to win against the Heat. It should take one more game after tonight, and like I said, they have either the Cavs or the Magic, which should be at worst a 6-game series. And then looks the way it's looking up, they'll meet the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then if they're able to beat the Knicks, they'll go to the finals and play. I know the Thunder are the number one seed in the West, and we should pay them respects, but it's hard not to look at Denver and be like, yeah, they're going back to back.
Sure.
I think for the Celtics, if in order for this to be a successful season for them, they got to go to the finals and put up a fight.
Yes.
Like, it's got to be a 7-game series that, and for them, winning would be a super successful, but getting to the finals and going, if they get to the finals and go up against Denver, a good fight is a successful season. If they get to the finals against any other team, I think they have to win to call this season a success.
Of course. You're absolutely right.
I think Denver is just a problem. Denver is who I'm picking to win. What about you?
Ooh, man. Picking Denver to go all the way.
Yeah.
Damn, should have said that before you did. Man. Picking Denver to go all the way. Damn, that's a great pick. I'm gonna say the Timberwolves go all the way.
Ooh, it's
Edwards is, I mean, he's got that Jordan in him, they're saying.
well, if the Nuggets take care of business, they meet next round.
Ooh, that's gonna be a good one.
Ooh, buddy, that's gonna be fun.
Let's see.
Anything else? Basketball, playoffs?
No, not much. I mean, I once the Rockets are eliminated
You're done.
from the no, I'm a casual glancer at this point.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'm with you
Yeah.
there. All right.
They're definitely teams that intrigue me. But they gotta keep advancing to keep my interest peaked. So I'm looking at you, Minnesota.
All right, man. So let's move from the Rockets. Let's talk about the Texans and these jerseys, man.
Man, those are something else.
But I don't think I've seen jerseys come out and like it's not only the fan base, but like all of NFL fans are like, yeah, those are some heat.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but like a week before they released the new jerseys, the Texans put out a video where they were like, we talked to all these people, we talked to the players, celebrities around Houston. We wanted to get as many people's opinion as we can, and we're bringing out four jerseys, and at the end of the day we hope everyone has at least one jersey they feel connected with. And boy howdy, did they succeed.
I've always liked the Battle Red
Yes.
Texans, like the original
Yes.
Battle Red or the current Battle Reds. Always liked them with the white pants, with the red pants, whatever. There is the blue on blue uniform that I've always liked, and I feel like they've taken the best of those two and have incorporated it into this current iteration, and I think just hit the nose, hit it on the nose.
What's your favorite uniform?
I'm trying to s find like a non fanatics jersey view, because it's behind that, it's behind a white backdrop, so it's kind of, excuse me. Let's see.
I want to get your does this work?
Those that red.
You still looking?
Yeah,
Maybe
I'm
I
on
got,
the.
hold on. I think I got something for you.
Okay.
Let me see. You know, you put so many buttons to pull up the chat.
Yeah, I'm going through. Man. And that, yeah, those new, I mean, that those red unis are still pretty awesome.
Yeah, click on that and then scroll down to like the middle of the page, and you'll be able to see the uniforms with the helmets and everything.
Yeah. Definitely the red. Still,
Yeah, buddy, the red with the all red helmet, the bull. Oh, that goes crazy.
And then just the standard home blues, man. Solid too. I mean, it's not a bad look. Well, it's a deeper navy than the old uniforms, and that's cool. I mean, that's totally cool. I'm good with that too.
The red,
But they go ahead.
I would say the red one, by far and away my favorite.
Yeah.
But it's not like the other uniforms are terrible. Even like the one I like the least is the was it the Color Rush? And even now, like the more I look at it, the more it's grown on me.
Yeah, the blue piping around the letters is a little disorienting, or it just kind of doesn't fit with the rest of the uniform, but it doesn't completely take away from it.
You know, I kind of wish they switched. They had the light blue as the main color, and then that darker blue like being the outline of the let of the numbers. Like, I think
Sure.
that'll work
Yeah.
better.
No, I get that. Yeah.
Like I said, I'm looking at all these uniforms and like the color rush. Like, if I had to grade them all, the color rush gets like a B minus.
And that's not a bad grade either.
Yeah, they get the B minus. I would say the home and away probably like B plus, A minus, and then the alternate, the all red, the A plus plus plus. You, that's the that gets you on the honor roll, kid. That is, oh man. I was talking to Daniel about that when they came out, and both of us are like, we're gonna buy those red ones. I gotta get a Mar I'm getting a Mari one too, a little CJ Stroud red, you know, red one too. Oh man. Yeah, man, it's crazy. Like, people who are not fans of the Texans are like, oh man, those uniforms are some heat, though. Crazy, amazing. Like, everyone has at least one uniform that they like. I've seen people be like, oh, I'm not feeling the red, but those color rush ones, and they like them more. They're wrong, but I respect their opinion. So tell me, which one are you getting first, and what player is it going to be?
Oh man, I mean, it would probably. I mean, for me, I would probably just go with the standard home blue. Man, I feel like those reds are, you know.
Gang affiliated? You
No.
worried you're gonna be in the Fifth Ward, have an issue?
No, man. I'm close to U of H, so red is not, you know, it's not a foreign color over here.
Okay.
No, I think, you know, for me, just standard navy is good, like standard home is good.
Yeah. The red's number one, but that home, it looks great. I like the away one. It's just white, white uniforms is always you're like, you're gonna spill something on it. There you go. Nacho cheese stain right there. It's just gonna be sticking out on the red on the white uniform, you know? Yeah. What player?
I mean, I guess you gotta go Stroud. Yeah.
I think my top ones would be either Stroud, Will Anderson Jr., Stingley, or Tank Dell.
Tank is, I mean, that's like the jersey says Dell, but most people, more and more people are becoming aware that that's Tank, you know? And that's not a, yeah, that's, you know, we know who number three is. And
Yeah.
that's, you know, that's cool.
Speaking of Tank, prayers up to Mr. Dale's
Big
getting out of
time.
that, mass shooting. You
Yeah.
know, thank God no one was killed. At least it's crazy to say that, but oh, thank God no one. It was only 10 people shot and wounded, and that's just where we are in this country.
Professional football player happened to be one of them. And it's not just
Now,
because he's from the Texans, it's just any football, you know, just the fact that, you know, even star athletes or, you know, I call them, they're not immune to this kind of stuff either.
I saw someone complain and be like, oh, well, he shouldn't have been there that late at night. And I'm like, where in the hell in America can you go where you won't get shot up? Let me know. Because it's been grocery stores, schools, churches, office buildings. Like, let me know what mythical place there is in this country where there's zero chance of you getting a bullet. Anyway, back to uniforms. A plus plus. Kyle McNair. Thumbs up to him.
Yeah.
How crazy has it been? It's been a year, and there's been such a turnaround for this team. Like, they're one of the beloved team now. Like, people like the Texans. They think they're cool. They love the, like, it's been such a 180 from a year ago.
The draft was what, last week?
Yeah.
So literally 1 year and what, 3 days ago, Cal McNair was
The worst owner.
everybody in Houston was saying, this guy just sells needs to sell the team. Just get out of here. Like, find someone else to run this ship. Because you're running it into the ocean. And a year and 3, 4 days later, I mean, this guy has turned it around. Not all on his own, obviously, but he's still in charge, and these big things have happened for this organization. And
Apparently he was
it's
giving an interview talking about it. It's like, well, one of the things that changed, I started listening to my wife Hannah more, and everything changed around. So, fellas, go out there, get you a good woman,
Right.
or a good man, what however you swing, get you a good partner that
There we
loves
go.
you and is there for you. It is. Can you? I couldn't. I can't imagine going back in time and telling myself a year ago, like, things are gonna be so better. Like, you're one of the top teams in the AFC. There's an outside chance you could make a run in the playoffs.
We weren't even saying, well, let's just give it a chance. We're just like, hopefully he'll just sell the team. Like, it was either just sell the team or, well, another season is here, and when's baseball season start?
Now it's like you can make a legit argument they're like the third best team in AFC behind the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Yes.
See what happens when you get I want to say when you get an elite coach and an elite quarterback, but it's like you got the elite coach and the Carolina Panthers just fucked up. Sometimes it's all you get good because of all your hard work, and sometimes you get good because other teams ahead of you fuck up. All right. Speaking of fuck ups, let's talk about these Houston Astros before we get up out of here. Currently
Man.
sitting at 9-19. Yeah, was you like that segue? You like that?
I don't love it, but
I don't love the
but
sun
just
never come
because,
out.
right?
But yeah, they sit at 9-19. What happens first? Do they get their 10th win or their 20th loss? We'll find out tomorrow.
Ooh, that's right.
Who they
Dead
play?
last in the American League West. And second to dead last, second to last in the American League.
The only saving grace about the AL West is every other team sucks. The Mariners are leading this division. They're 15-13 as of this recording. They're playing right now, aren't they? I mean,
Atlanta.
ooh, I kind of want to see that. What's the score right now? Oh, it just started top first, 0-0. All right, I put it on MLB app and watch that. Yeah, that's one of the ones saving grace. The rest of the division kind of just sucks ass right now. It has not been great.
Nope.
It has not been fun.
Nope.
Everything that can go wrong has.
Yep.
Let's just start with the biggest elephant in the room. What the hell are they gonna do with God damn, I'm looking for his name. He's not even in the starting lineup. He's benched. What are they going to do with Jose Abreu?
I mean, you just have to ride that contract out, man. There's not much else they can do. I don't see any takers, even for significant chunk of money eaten by the team.
You want to take a guess at his average?
Is it 104? I think that's what I looked at.
Oh, buddy, you're a little too high.
It went back down.
Yep, he's under 100.
Oh, God.
Barely. Is 0.099. You know,
Yeah.
when they first signed Jose Abreu, I was like, okay, he's gonna decline, sure, but maybe be a gradual decline. And if they win a World Series in between now and that third year, no one's gonna care. How did I know the man would fall off a cliff and then follow that up with falling off Mount Everest?
Right.
Good Lord. I understand the money is what it is. It's 19 and a half million this year and next year, but the money's already spent. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That money is gone, baby. It's not like keeping him here isn't gonna, keeping him here with the way he's hitting right now, it's just a black hole. It's like he comes up and for as a pitcher, it's easier than throwing it to another pitcher. Like I've watched my fair share of Astros game, unfortunately. It's been hurting my soul.
Yeah.
He cannot catch up to 88 down the middle.
No.
They were in Mexico City for these last two games. Mexico City is higher up in elevation than Denver. Denver is over what, 5,000 square feet. Mexico City is 7,000 square 7,000 feet. I don't know why I said square feet. 7,000 feet up in the air. It's like playing on the moon, and he can barely get out to the warning track. I
Yeah, I
love it.
mean,
It's just time for a Crane to accept what is. Like,
is this a situation where, like you said, the money's already been spent? Is this a DFA situation?
that's what I would do. A lot of
Just send
times
them home, yeah.
people get like you spend a bunch of money on something, and then when it starts affecting you negatively, it's like, well, I've already spent this much amount of money on it. I can spend some more. I need to keep getting, and that's the what's called sunk cost fallacy. Like you already put money in it, you're gonna put some more money. It's like and just hurt yourself in the long run. When the smarter thing is to just cut bait
Eat the cost.
and just move on.
And, you know,
Like,
anybody else that you put in that spot is not going to cost nearly as much as Jose Abreu. So, you know, if you can get any production better than Jose Abreu currently, then it's worth it. So it is worth calling up Joey Loperfido or just sticking with Singleton,
well,
you
they have
know.
called up Joey Loperfido, Joey Bats. No idea what's going to happen. They have to make a, I believe they have to make a move to put him on the 40-man roster and then also put him on the 26-man roster. So we'll see what happens there because the one guy they just brought up, Cabbage, he was able to come up because of the special circumstances on going to Mexico City. They were allowed to have a 27th man on the roster.
Right.
So he was up and just immediately got sent back down when they came back to Houston. But Joey, he's up. He's in Houston. I don't know what's gonna happen. Like I'm looking. I think like I would guess that they move somebody we're not thinking of off the 40 man, some like Corey Jolks. Add him to the 40 man, then Singleton gets maybe they just DFA Singleton.
Yeah. I mean, Loperfido is a left-handed hitter himself, so maybe it's time to cut bait with Singleton and, you know, plug in the next lefty.
Cause it's like I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow what happens. Like, I think the most likely thing is Singleton getting DFA. Second most likely, they move someone in AAA off the 40 man and then send, like, you know what? I don't know, because they still need, even though this pitching staff and the bullpen hasn't been great, they still need all these people because they're about to come up on, I think the next couple of games they play like something like 30 games in 32 days or something like that. So they're gonna need
Jeez.
everybody for the bullpen and the rotation, all that stuff. I don't know, man. It really feels like Singleton enjoy Sugar Land, my friend.
Yeah. And keep enjoying that 19.5 million, Jose Abreu.
Well, say about these Texans. Pitching staff has been garbage, but it looks like things are turning around. Verlander's back. Ronel Blanco has been pitching lights out since the beginning of the season.
Yep.
Valdez just made his return, and it's
And his
looking,
arm held up.
and it's looking like Christian Javier will be back this weekend for the series against the Mariners.
Right.
So, you know, once our pitching staff doesn't look like trash, we can make a run at this thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, you made a great point that Boston has had just as many, if not more, injuries, and they've still managed to win games. And this team has not been able to do anything close to what Boston has done. And
Maybe it's like what I said earlier about the Lakers and the Nuggets. Maybe it's just a Big Brother scenario. You gave everyone a chance to gang up on you, and then the Astros are going to rip off some crazy streak where they win 22 out of 25 games.
I mean, one has to hope, man. That's what happens.
And then all of MLB falls to their knees like, they're back? No, I thought we were done with this.
Yeah, I mean, there's been, outside of Blanco, who's been stellar. I mean, he's been incredible so far. I mean, through no hitter. So you start with a no-hitter and you only go down from there, but you've still pitched very well. That's still an incredible average, I feel like. I mean, the strikeouts are high enough. I mean, he's not at 9 Ks per nine, but just under nine, that's not a bad strikeout percentage.
He's
ERA is
like
super low. The whip is
under
down.
two.
Yeah. Sub 2 ERA, sub 1 whip, and 3 wins and 5 starts. He's won a third of this team's games.
Ronel Blanco, if I told you before the season that he was going to win a third of this team's games, you'd be like, well, season's a wrap. See
Yeah.
you in 2025.
And Javier was pitching very well, and then he goes down with a neck injury, but hopefully we'll be back soon.
Yeah, hopefully this weekend.
Justin just couldn't get past the fifth, couldn't get out of the fifth inning his last start. Pitched well in his first start, got the win. So, hopefully he just, keeps it going and is the Verlander that we come to expect.
Oh, you know
But I
who's
think, go ahead.
okay. You know who's been sneaky good this season?
Rafael Montero?
Bingo.
He heard all the mess you had to say the past 2 years and said, "You know what? I'm gonna show this guy what I'm made of."
I'll show ye. He's not, if I remember correctly, Rafael, he had like a bad 2 months last year, and that was it. I'm about to look it up. Going back to 2023.
Yeah, because he got paid after 22, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
It
I'm
had, I mean,
looking.
it had, was it only 2 months? Because he had a 5 ERA last year.
When you're when you're a reliever, you only pitch what, 50 innings? Two, you know, one or two shitty months could really hurt you. Let's see, ERA by month. Last year, April, March and April, ERA of 2.25. Good. May, 12.10. June, 8.49. July, 2.31. August, 2.31. And then September slash October, 4.22.
God bless.
So yeah, two really shitty months, whereas ERA was above eight. But after that, he got it together for the most part.
Yep.
In fact, the first half before the All-Star break, he pitched in 38 in the third innings, had ERA of 6.57. Second half after the All-Star break, 29 innings pitched, ERA 3.1. So yeah, he's had in two shitty months. And yeah, they were terrible. You go through a month with ERA of 12, it feels like God is smiting you himself.
Yeah.
But you know, he pulled back together in July and he's been good, you know, since then. What's his ERA this year? Right now is 2.57. Well, yeah.
Strikeouts are down. He's not striking out a lot of players or batters, but that ERA, I mean, that's really where it counts.
Like
That ERA and whip.
I'll take strikeouts being down. I just need them to stop walking every fucking body.
That
Starting
too.
pitchers, ERA is 25th in the league, whip 29th in the league, walks per nine, 29th in the league. The only category where they're not fucking up is home runs per nine. They're seventh in the league, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then offensively, their problem is they can't score runs. I think I saw their OPS plus with runners in scoring position is like 93, which is below average. 100% is average. 93, 100 is average. 90%, 100 is average. So if you're at 93, you're 7% below average. For a team with this many players is unacceptable. Speaking of players, hey, Astros fans, y'all told me Chaz McCormick was him. Y'all told me Dusty Baker didn't know what he was doing because he didn't play Chaz McCormick. While secretly the only player that got more playing time in the outfield than Chaz McCormick last year was Kyle Tucker. But y'all told me Chaz McCormick was that dude. He is decidedly not that dude this year.
And even not the best manager ever hired, Joe Espada is following the Dusty Baker playbook and not playing him every day. It's been that bad.
Y'all ran off a World Series winning manager over goddamn Chaz McCormick and Yiner Diaz, and now them motherfuckers are not have to would have to win 11 what no yeah 11 games straight to get above 500.
I would,
Y'all lied to me.
like I texted you before, I think we should split the difference on Yiner and Chaz because Yiner's been hitting. I mean, he's hitting.
He's hitting as long as there's no one on base. He is one of the biggest problems with the whole we can't hit with runners in scoring position.
This team as a whole just doesn't hit with runners in scoring position. It's just is a problem that has gone on for too long at this point. We dealt with this in 22, 23. Even the good times, runners in scoring position and two outs, it's just been kryptonite for this lineup.
Yeah, Diaz has problems hitting running scoring position. McCormick has had problems hitting, period. Jake Myers is just not getting the lineup. I'm looking at, he only has 51 plate appearances. John Singleton has 47, so he's about to surpass him soon.
We talked about a guy who possibly was going to ask for $300 million in free agency this year. That ain't happening. He ain't
Buddy,
getting close to, I mean,
if Alex Bregman keeps hitting like he's hitting and popping up every damn ball straight up in the infield, he'll be lucky to get that Max Chapman contract.
they're gonna bop him over the nose with a rolled up paper like a dog if he even, if his nose even, if it even moves a scintilla of an inch to indicate a sniff of $300 million.
Yeah, he's not getting close to that. He, oof. Yeah.
For all the, you know,
I was gonna text you one day. I was gonna say, if the Astros season keep going like this, that the Astros trade Alex Bregman to Team X, ESPN notification is gonna hit like crack.
but at this point, what could you get for him? He's
Right
not,
now.
because he's not even hitting, he's not even hitting or playing to be a trade candidate, much less a guy looking for a big money deal in the offseason. I mean, this guy just, he can't win for losing.
You stop sucking. How about that? Get that.
Pena, I guess they said, hey, put down the dumbbells. Stop pumping iron so much and focus on hitting this offseason because
Well, he went and completely reworked his batting stance and swing. He looks more like Michael Brantley in the box now,
he does.
which is smart because like. If you want to hit, why don't you emulate the guy who was the professional hitter, since his days in Cleveland's?
I mean, he's hitting very well this year. Is not a Hulk like he was last year. And yeah, I mean, it's made all the difference so far.
Yeah, I think he's getting a little lucky. I think his average is gonna end up somewhere around I'd say 275, 285, something in that range. I don't
That's
think he's gonna
not
be
a
a
bad
good.
average.
Look, that's miles above where he was last year. Oh yeah. He's been better. Let's see. John Singleton. I'm not even supposed to be here. Oh, speaking of which, like I just want everyone to pump their brakes about Joey Loperfino.
Sure.
Because last year we were having the same discussion with John Singleton. He was hitting home runs, taking his walks, and looking like the second coming of Prince Fielder in AAA. And people were begging for him to be called up, take over a Braves job. He came up, he had those two home runs against the Angels, and it was like the Disney story come true, and did basically bupkis the rest of the season and this season. So let's just pump the brakes and thinking that the rookie with a 30% strikeout percentage is going to just come up and turn everything around. And honestly, like he is not going to be playing every day. And more than likely, I think they already said that he's going to play in outfield more than first base because he's only played 7 games at first place.
They are, that's a rush job, if any. They're like, okay, we got to get this guy reps at first. Get him reps, get him reps, get him reps. And We're out of time. We can't keep him down here any longer. We've got to get him up there. And he just doesn't have the reps to be an everyday first baseman. This is not the team to learn on the job.
Let's see. I'm going to look at his games played. He's played 15 games in center field this year, three in left, four, and seven at first.
Look, as improbable as it might be, I would trade him cutting down on the strikeouts over a shitload of home runs at this point. Again, this is a lineup where you don't need to be the guy, right? He doesn't need to be the guy at first base, at center field, wherever they play him. He doesn't need to be the guy. This is a For all the problems that this team has, pitching, runners in scoring position, this is still a very good lineup. He doesn't need to be the guy for this team. So if you can cut down your strikeouts, get timely hits, get on base, we don't need you to hit 13 home runs in 25 games. And I think that would be the biggest benefit to this team. We don't need another guy that strikes out a bunch. We have plenty of that going on right now.
I always feel like the Astros strike out a lot, and then you go look at the team stats, and they are the team with the lowest strikeout percentage. And it's been running for like since 2019.
Well, I mean, compared to, I mean, look, Abreu is just not hitting at anything. Whether he's striking out a lot or not, I mean, he's just not doing anything. And Singleton isn't that much, isn't significantly better. I think if you can get a guy that, again, can just get on base at this point.
Oh, I guess it. I was right. Since 2019, the Astros have the lowest strikeout percentage.
When you have good hitters like Altuve, like Tucker, like
Bradley.
Alvarez, who don't strike out a lot, and even Bregman, sure, yeah, I mean those numbers are going to be down, but when you get further down the order, I mean it's
I lied. Since 2017, they have the lowest. I just keep adding years, and it's like,
they keep striking out less.
yeah.
But a guy like Loperfido, where like that was the big impediment to getting called up. It's just he strikes out too much. Don't bring that with you to the big league roster. If anything, be a part of the aspect of the team that is statistically among the best.
Oh, let's play a little game because I'm looking at these Fangraph stats. So, since 2017, can you name the top five offenses by WRC plus? I want to see you can get off.
Top five since when?
Since 2017,
2017. Yankees, Astros.
Astros number one, Yankees number three,
Dodgers.
number two. Oh, I don't think you're getting number five.
Braves, number four.
Braves six. They're outside looking
Ooh.
in. Yep.
All right, so Astros, Dodgers, Yankees. We talking since 2017, right?
Yes, sir.
Mets.
Eighth.
Eighth, okay. Astros, Dodgers, Yankees.
I'll give you a hint, both teams are in the American League. Just curious.
Seattle.
11th.
Ooh.
Oh,
Okay.
no, I'm
So,
sorry. 10th. Seattle's
I
probably,
guess,
their ballpark hurts them.
yeah. So I guess Boston.
9th.
Ooh, damn. Tampa.
Fourth.
Fourth.
You're not
And
getting the
then
15th.
Baltimore.
Nope. They are ninth.
White Sox.
Oh God, I can't. I don't even know what the hell they are. They're 21st.
Oh, wow. The Rangers? Fifth?
Rangers are shit, 24th. You got to remember, the Rangers are doing a lot of losing during that time period.
Yeah. I'm running out of teams here.
Give up?
The Guardians?
D-d-d-d-d 14th.
I give up.
Your last guess, you were in the right division. It is the Twins of Minnesota.
I was going to say the Twins of Minnesota.
It's Houston, LA, New York, Yankees, Tampa Bay, and then Minnesota. Dang, the bottom five teams are kind of interesting as well. One guess. What do you think was the worst team since
What league?
2017? National.
Pittsburgh.
Ooh, you were so close. Pittsburgh with 29th. The answer is Colorado.
Pittsburgh's
You
turning it
wouldn't,
around a little bit.
yeah, but you wouldn't think Colorado's having one of had the worst offense. You think Coors Field, and you think.
Right. Ugh. But they haven't had like a dynamic hitter in like Arenado in a few years.
Always interesting to play with the stats. Astro stinky. Try to be less stinky.
That's all I can hope for at this point.
Anything else, man?
No, that's all I've got. This is a good one, man. Jeez, like we've made up for a lot of lost time.
Yeah, we've been yakking and yakking. It's time for us to get up out of here. I gotta edit this thing. It's already past 9. Edit this thing. Check on my slips, my precious slips. Let's get out of here. Thank you all for honestly waiting for us to return,
Yeah.
for downloading, listening, sharing this podcast. If you can, wherever you listen to this podcast, please leave us a review. 5-star review helps us with the algorithm, helps with our egos, and doing something nice for others will make you feel better about yourself. So I'm trying to guilt you into being a better person. I hope it's working. Or at least guilt you into helping us. All right. It's time for us to get out of here. We will be back next week. Fingers crossed. No more vacations.
No more. I
No more
think that's it for
vacations.
the year
That's
for
it.
me.
Yeah, no more vacations till 2025. So we'll be back next week. We'll have something else to talk to you guys. And yeah, welcome back. For Anthony, I'm DeQuincy. Laters.